Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons stars in the new MGM Plus original series, The Westies.
There it is, Javits Center.
Biggest construction project in the history of New York falls into the lap of the Irish.
This Irish crime gang built New York City on blood, sweat, and loyalty. Their legend is true.
The Italians outnumber us about 100 to 1.
Their story is criminal.
This Irish guy's threatening war.
He's gotta go.
Keep out of Hell's Kitchen.
The Westies. Watch now. Only on MGM Plus.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want a cup of joe with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm the Joker, baby.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, The Long Take. We're on episode 101. Today, JDL with us because we're going to be breaking down the Dune trailer. No one comes their pants for Dune quite like Jeff D does.
Wow.
Jeff Dune, hello.
I'm trying to think of like what your number one... You're like the number one fan or good boy for. It's either that or Succession, and I just don't know which one it is.
Yeah, I think it's probably Dune. I was number one Dune guy in the pot. You guys watched Succession before I did.
I think Tro was the first one, which is weird.
Yeah, I was late to I didn't watch Succession until like three episodes in the season two.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a Dune thing. I guess
I'm a Billions guy. Billions is better than Succession.
I don't know if he could be the Dune guy either because there's so many books and he's like he can't even get
to
the first
main
one.
Guy. Yeah, I will say I know the lore decently well now solely based on just watching YouTube videos. I actually did get through the first movie in the book, mm-hmm. and I actually stopped. And I kind of know what I know for the most part what happens, but I didn't want the nuts and bolts, so I did stop.
Yeah, so we're going to have Jeff sharing the screen. We're going to break down a little bit of the Dune trailer because both of you guys have at least opened the book before. We could say that at the very least.
I've read the books. That's right, Jeff.
I bought the Kindle version. I never read through it yet, but we'll see. We'll get there.
It's a really good book on tape too. Mm. They do a very good job with like really kind of laying it out there, even though in your head, you're just like, for me, I'm just like, why is it not Timothy Chalamet's voice?
Yeah. If it's narrated by Sting, I'd actually be into it.
I'll be honest. I don't love books on tape. Like, not that. Yeah, I'm not a big audiobook guy. I've listened to one that I liked, and that was Andy Serkis's Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
He did The Hobbit, and he's just good with the voices.
That's pretty good though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's really fucking good at the voices. Outside of that, I don't know. They read too slow. Sometimes it's like, most of the time, it's like an old man. I don't love it.
All right, let's break down some trailer. Got a huge pop when it came out too. I think
massive.
Really well in the accounts, everything like that. So still buzzing.
I mean, opens up pretty simple, right? Opens up with Zendaya, who's in the movie this time.
In the movie,
Johnny.
That's a pretty big thing as Johnny. Yeah, and Paul. It's kind of funny. It's like the first thing is like the most lighthearted thing we got. Out of the first two movies. Like, this is more lighthearted than anything we got in the first movie, I feel like.
Yeah.
Except when Javier Bardem, Stilgar, like, spits. Like, I think that was, like, one of the very few, like, funny moments in the first movie.
Yeah.
Stuff with Duncan.
What is he? He has a good line right in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he says, my man.
Besides the obvious, my boy.
That was filmed in the... Oh. So we'll talk about that. Like, that's, I'm sure we're going to talk about most here is like, what will Austin Butler sound like? Mm-hmm. But like, it's because it's like, is he going to roll in from Elvis and just sound like Elvis? But like, that was basically what he did with Aquaman, right? Like,
yeah,
it's like
true.
It's like he was in character as Aquaman as Duncan, though it does work for Duncan, Idaho.
Mm-hmm. What do you call it?
Such a great name.
He has a line along the lines of saying like, "Oh, you look like you put on some weight." He's like, "Really? No," or something.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's. I mean, opening. They talk about like jumping in. They talk about like what it like to dive in water. I know like the Fremen don't really have water, but I still feel like that's something they would learn. I kind of call bullshit on that. Like, kind of shocked. She's surprised. Maybe she's playing into it a little bit. Yeah, then what's next? You see Lady Jessica, who's like basically the queen mother of all the Fremen now. She's got all the new tattoos and stuff. Gooch, though, we see our first Florence Pugh appearance as Princess Arulin, who's the Emperor's daughter. We don't see the Emperor in this trailer.
Christopher Walken. I can't wait to see him.
Which I was kind of fired up about. I was glad we didn't see him.
Hey, I'm in Dune. Listen, I'm the Emperor.
Everyone has a Walken impression. They're all bad. I forget who said that, but it's true.
That was his way of saying your Walken impression is terrible, Gooch.
Everybody's. There's no good ones.
Dune.
This is some good – I liked what we saw from Florence Pugh in this trailer, by the way.
Yeah. She looks like kind of just regular Florence Pugh, if that makes sense. But, like, they all just kind of look like that. Like, I don't know what I was expecting. Like, maybe, like, face tattoos or something like that. Like, something more mystical. But I don't know the character enough to, like, make that sort of assumption. Well, but Florence Pugh is obviously top of the game right now. So
she is more or less the most eligible bachelorette in the universe. Which very true to her real life, most eligible bachelorette in our world. But yeah, no. So that MIDI, I like that when they pan to like the Emperor stuff, it looks like this medieval like sci-fi. Like I loved to like the fits that they were throwing on her. Like just looks so cool.
What was the last thing that you'd say she's in that was really good?
I really liked The Wonder last year, actually.
Yeah, it was solid. Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah. In terms of mainstream big things, though, like. She wasn't Midsommar? Nothing in 2020. Black Widow, nobody's going to carry the water for that movie. Don't worry, darling.
No. But she was really, the best part of that movie, but that movie itself wasn't very good.
Right.
Midsommar, I guess, because she was great and the movie was also very good.
She's one of those actors that just takes a lot of really small stuff, it feels
Little
like.
Women.
Yeah, I mean.
But this year she's in Oppenheimer and Dune, so it's like.
Yeah, two biggies. To say the least, two biggies.
Yeah, then we see. The Harkonnen burning a bunch of Atreides stuff. Poor Oscar Isaac. I'm sure we'll see him in a flashback or something, right?
I would assume so, based on the story. There is one thing with his relationship to the Harkonnens that I think they'll maybe explore, but who knows?
The Harkonnen stronghold, they're like, somehow Leo Atreides has returned. They cloned him.
Holy shit, he's back. Yeah, because I do think with the inclusion of the Emperor this time, like they're going to hopefully dive more into why they pulled the Harkonnens out of Arrakis and put the Atreides in, obviously setting them up for exactly what happened in the first movie. I will say of the things that were cut from the first book, now that I've gotten through it, the one thing that I've always been kind of bummed out about was the Dr. Yue storyline. Mm-hmm. His storyline's very rushed in the first movie. They don't really talk enough about like the reasonings as to why he betrayed the Atreides family. It's like the one thing they cut out. And I hopefully they have more time to breathe the story in this one. But I guess we'll have to fucking wait and see. So yeah, them burning shit, more Lady Jessica and Paul. The shots are great, obviously. Oh, yeah. Everything sounds great. More Florence Pugh. The music is fucking amazing. I think it's like it's such a good Hans Zimmer's breakdown of how he made the score is fucking awesome.
Never seen it. What did he do?
Say it again.
I'd never seen that. What did he do?
Because just the breakdown of like the noises and the sounds that he used. It's like it's just very fucking unique and different. It's just like
the sound I really like is like the sound of the thing that like calls the worm. You know what I mean? Like that little like clink. Or I don't know what you would call it, but like that sound I think is very unique and cool sounding.
My favorite song from that soundtrack was "Ripples in the Sand." It's got that. It's got the electric guitar going in the background. It's so sick.
Which like that is. I mean. I would love if there's like more electric guitar in this one, because obviously the first Dune, David Lynch's Dune or not, like the soundtrack was done by Toto. Like there's such cool music in the original Dune. Yeah. That like I do feel like you might hear a little more of that. Now, while Paul's on the worm in this, are you going to hear like a really sick electric guitar riff? Maybe not like in full, but yeah, I think adding more of that in there would be kind of neat.
That'd be sick though.
Would be. I was actually kind of surprised in the first movie there wasn't a Pink Floyd song in there because of the first trailer. I thought they were going to use some sort of Pink Floyd in there. I mean, they're all after the Spice. It's a psychedelic.
Yeah.
Come on, put some Doors in there. Put something in there.
Or if they had like the Dire Straits guitar solo going while he's on the thing.
He's riding the worm and it's just the Steamboat Willie song.
That's definitely one way to get a wreck.
Paul's just whistling.
Yeah.
Now we have you got a shot of Josh Brolin's Gurney Halleck, who survives from the first movie. For those who don't know from the book, he does survive, which is neat because I do love his character. I thought his character was just an awesome portrayal by Brolin. But Brolin's great in everything he's in. Even though at really quick glance, I thought this was Jake Gyllenhaal for about a split second. I don't know why. Like it has like there's something about, you know what it is? If you block out his face, it's like a celebrity mashup on the dozen. That's Jake Gyllenhaal's hairstyle from Nightcrawler.
Yes.
You're saying greasy as fuck.
Yeah, a really, really greasy version. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. This will be what he looks like in like 50 years.
Yeah.
Fucking dude still looks like he's 20.
First shot of Austin Butler as Fade Rautho, which this was obviously played by Sting in the David Lynch Dune. Mm-hmm. This is the big thing to talk about the trailer. One, everything we see with this character is in black and white. Yeah. Now, granted, everything with the Harkonnens in the first one was pretty colorless to begin with. I don't think this is going to be all black and white every time we're on Getty Prime where they're from, but I think this is probably flashbacks a lot. I think there's a lot of flashbacks with this character and with the Harkonnens, but what the fuck do we think he sounds like?
Hey, Arrakis, how you doing?
Maybe they just don't let him speak. No speaking from – they're from Getty Prime?
Uncle Baron, he's got my head shaved down, bro.
They're going to have you buying photos from that website in about 20 years from now, Getty Prime. That's where you get all your licensed photos from.
Some knucklehead named Paul trying to take it all away from me.
Dude, he looks like the engineer from Prometheus. Does he not?
He does. He does.
You tweeted that. It's exactly spot on.
Yeah. Like, except like just slightly less massive. Actually, let's say a lot less massive. The actor that played that engineer was jacked as fuck. And he's kind of like, I don't know, much skinnier.
Do you think it was a decision after seeing like people talk about for the past year after Elvis came out? What is he going to sound like in Dune? Like, at least film Twitter has talked about it for a while. Do you think that played into the decision to not have his voice in the trailer?
It's a good tease. Like, even if it's just nothing at all like Elvis, like, it's a good idea not to have it.
I would love if they didn't even up all the way up until the movie did not show it.
Zilch.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. The thing is, it's like, you can joke all, I don't know. Like, I guess it's, maybe it's a dumb assumption to assume he still has a little bit of that fucking drawl or that twang or whatever. But I don't know if it is, because fucking everything he's in, he sounds like it.
Mm. He can't turn it off on like interviews. Why would he be able to?
He can't turn it off for his real human life. Like, is he going to be able to turn it off for his job? I don't know.
Yeah. It's very, very curious.
I think it'll definitely be like low and raspy. Like, I think his vocal cords are definitely like altered at this point.
What if they have him have like a robotic voice? Like a tracheotomy voice. You know what I mean? Like a rope, like it's just completely altered. Like he has some sort of implant. I could see that. That'd be kind of cool.
The rivalry between this character and Paul is obviously very big. There's a lot of, and I won't get into it, there's a lot of in the lore connections to this character and what could have been with the Atreides family. But you mentioned it on our pod the other day, Robbie. Like, this character is a rock star-ish character. Like, now he looks a lot different than the Sting version in the David Lynch one. Like, by a
that was just Sting.
Oh, yeah, it was. Polar opposites. Yeah. But this one could have a wacky voice may end up working. I don't know.
Yeah. Very so well could work. If you know, from, and they'll explain this in trailers at some point, but Paul is like supposed to be set up as a messiah on this planet. But the Bene Gesserit have also set up other potential messiahs, quote, and he is one of them. Yep. So that's where the foil comes.
She's one of them, right? Leia Seydoux in this.
Yeah, Leia Seydoux's Lady Margot. She's a Bene Gesserit as well. Very close connections to Austin Butler's Fey Rautha character, who is the younger nephew of Baron Harkonnen. By the way, obviously the other nephew being played by Dave Bautista, who's a significantly larger, more brooding human. We saw a quick clip of him. We saw a quick clip of Baron Harkonnen, and then you see Leia Seydoux's new character, who is again a Bene Gesserit, just like. Lady Jessica's played by Rebecca Ferguson. There's other kind of Easter eggy things that are big in Dune, Water of Life, whatever it's called. And then You see a couple of those things. Those are pretty big moments. Which, again, I'm not going to spoil what happens in the book. I'm not really going to say it. I don't really want to give it away if you haven't read and you kind of want things to be surprising.
This one frame is just so funny. This frame is hilarious.
He also looks like fucking Matt Smith. So now,
yeah, it does. Yeah,
now if you're just listening, now we're looking at kind of the main flashback part of Fade Routh, where he's in a big arena, it looks like, and he's fighting. And I assume this is flashback because it's black and white, but he looks like fucking Matt Smith.
Mm-hmm. If you had a little vampire fangs in there, like his well-known character.
What's that one song?
I don't know what the song was called, but it was that dance. He was a good dancer. That was a good dance he did in that movie, in Morbius.
See, this part, I am shocked that they showed this in the trailer.
Yeah, this seems like a very big sell tickets moment in the trailer.
But still, because, this is like the money moment, you know what I mean? Like it's like having the cum shot 2 minutes into the porno.
Yeah, this is obviously – so now we're – again, if you're just listening, you're not watching on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, we're showing it. But it's Paul learning our first not the writing.
Cum shot. Yeah.
The cum shot 2 minutes in. This is one of those ones where they make him cum like five times against his will.
Yeah. For you,
that's what
Chalamet.
Dune 2 is going to be for me. I'm just going to be coming.
Yeah.
I will say crazy fucking sick though. Like it looks awesome.
It looks awesome.
Especially and when it is, look up. It is like a big potential. This could look really stupid too. Mm-hmm. And it honestly, it does in David Lynch's Dune.
Yeah, I was about to say, in the first Dune, it looked terrible.
it looks like when somebody drives a car in a 90s sitcom. Like it just looks really bad.
I was going to say, it almost looks like when they do like an SNL parody of stuff. Yes, like it looked like that. You know what I mean?
Dude, these ornithopters.
They're so sick.
I mean, it's got to be. It's one of my favorite sci-fi like automobiles ever.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, in the movie, what was that movie a few years ago? Titan, where the girl fucks the car. Yeah, I would fuck an ornithopter.
Weird goddamn movie that was. Gladiator, Austin Butler.
And then, yeah, more Austin Butler in the arena. He's in the Genosis Arena. More fighting. Obviously, flashbacks.
This is such a lock for costume design.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. The costumes are insane.
Like that one. That one is so sick.
That's Florence Pugh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Okay. More Florence Pugh and crazy fucking emperor costumes. You look at Fade Routh maybe trying to make out with Lissidu's Lady Margo, the Bene Gesserit. Rick, he's pale. Fuck, man. The Harkonnens are so fucking pale. Which I guess the Atreides would be eventually pale as well if they were to ever live inside as long as they're supposed to.
I always get surprised, by the way. Every time Timothée Chalamet yells, I always forget how deep his voice is. It's like almost scary how deep his voice is.
I always said, too, him yelling when him and Lady Jessica are hiding after the attack on the city, he sounds so much like Oscar Isaac. It's crazy.
I never noticed that. I gotta rewatch.
It's like, it's scary how perfect it is. Mm-hmm. And then the final shot here is, I think, the coolest part of the trailer when he's rising up against the Fremen or rising up with the Fremen. Yeah. Well, the shot of him going toe to toe with Fader Arthur, which is obviously one of the more famous scenes from the David Lynch movie, is fucking awesome. This movie's gonna win every fucking award. It's gonna sweep everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the moment here where he kind of rises up and leads the Fremen is fucking badass. That battle scene, like the war epic part of this in 100% full IMAX. Again, reminder, and that's basically the entire trailer. Fucking incredible. It is – most IMAXs are not real. Keep that in mind when you go see Dune. Keep that in mind when you see Spider-Verse, when you go see Mission Impossible Fallout, most theaters are not full IMAX. Something got a hilarious IMAX. Didn't Bo is Afraid just get an IMAX release?
I would watch that in IMAX.
Actually, that one kind of makes sense.
I would watch it. They got nothing else going on in an IMAX theater right now. Yeah. I'd even check it until Guardians comes out.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was just Lincoln Square. I forgot. Because Lincoln Square in New York is like one of the bigger theaters in the country. And that they'll show things in IMAX no matter what because they got such a big screen. But I wasn't sure if it got a wide release or not. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think we can all – I mean, great fucking trailer.
We got IMAX tonight – or Guardians tonight. I almost forgot.
Yeah, I'm going at 10.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. I don't – people are – the reviews are really weird about that movie.
Yeah, and then we got Will Poulter tomorrow for an interview.
We do,
Yeah, we'll be very fresh off of it.
Yeah. Excited to see his character. So, yeah, I don't know. Dune this summer. I'm in the fall. I'm pumped. Like, I think it looks – I hope we don't see much more, though. Like, I don't think you need to see much more than what we saw. I don't really want to see Christopher Walken's Emperor. I'm sure we will.
I really do want to see him, but like, yeah, you're right. Like, I don't know if I want it to just be something that I first experience in theater versus over a trailer. But that's a character where I feel like they don't care if they give him a quick peek early.
I mean, you want to talk about a guy who can't turn his voice off.
Yeah, that's true.
Christopher Walken. He's done the same accent in every single role his entire career. Yeah.
I think I can barely remember him doing anything different. Like, he does like Italian accent, and then we played a mobster in True Lies? I think he was a mobster in that, right? Yeah, something like that. But yeah, every now and then. But there's not much variation between them. But yeah, that's Dune. I think we're all pumped for it. I think that's probably the most anticipated for the second half of the year, at the very least. Like,
I think if you're a fan of movies, you need to, at the very least, you don't have to be excited for it, but you should at least respect it and hopefully go see it, just because this just doesn't happen anymore, where a director just gets the budget they want. They get to see their vision through.
Exactly. Like, in the biggest screen too.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it makes money. Cause I want more of this shit.
Same.
It needs,
I would
to
love
money.
Messiah. Like, I would love for Denny to come back 10 years later and do Messiah, which is the follow-up.
Outside of Dune, we did a few other things. Pedro Pascal got drafted. too close on the brain. Got
going
cast.
To Ukraine.
He's driving a drone, dropping grenades into tanks. But he got cast in Gladiator 2, Ridley Scott. That already has Paul Mescal playing Lucius, the kid from the first Gladiator movie. It's got the Eddie Munster kid from Stranger Things. No, we'll stick with Eddie Munster for now.
Yeah,
we'll get there. Yeah, but he's playing this Emperor Caracalla, who I was looking him up. Big piece of shit. Like, killed his own brother. Known as one of the worst tyrants in all of Roman history. So that'll be interesting, because I do think he has a cool, I don't know, sort of like evil vibe to him, even though he's playing a good guy, obviously, in Stranger Things. And then a couple of bigger names as well. Denzel Washington, obviously a huge name attached to it. Barry Keoghan in it. A few others, too. Gladiator 2, I remember the first drafts for this movie involved Maximus fighting his way through the timeline. Like, he was going to be like going into the future, right, fighting in like fucking Revolutionary War, World War II, shit like that, like all that. And they rightfully scrapped that to this just being sort of more of a direct sequel to what the events of the first Gladiator movie.
That's a sequel idea that you have if you don't actually plan on making it.
Exactly. Yeah. This one significantly better. Pedro Pascal, like the perfect type of dude to add into this. I would like for him to play, like, I feel like they can't, but like, I would love to see him play like a bad guy. You know what I mean? I feel like he's got it in him to play a good villain.
Play the Daddyator.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of saw in Last of Us, like, he's a fucking piece of shit in The Last of Us at times. Like, he is a survival, like, I'll do whatever it takes kind of guy. Like, he has that in him. He can be an animal, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I would like Gladiator 1 a lot still. I know people, like, some people soured on it, I think, over time, which is weird. Like, they're like, I understand being like, hey, it's not the best movie of all time. Like, sure, it's not. But, like, it is a really, really damn good, entertaining movie with great drama, obviously great action, all that shit. And Ridley Scott getting the chance to do it again, I'm in.
I'm very annoyed by the amount of people who think this is something that came out of nowhere. Because this has been talked about since the first one came out. It was in the DVD commentary, Ridley Scott talking about doing a sequel. So this has been in the works forever. And it's finally picked up steam, has a script. And the cast, I mean, if you weren't sold before, the cast is like well-respected actors. It's not just like big names. These are actors who take on like roles that are well-written, take on scripts that are well-written, work with well-respected directors. So, yeah, I mean, my hopes and my excitement for this are going up with every like new bit of information we get.
Connie Nielsen back too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I know Denzel. I was reading something like Denzel like got the pitch for got the script, and he was like, I don't know if I want to do Gladiator 2. And apparently his role was so badass that like he just had to say yes. Like, he was like, immediately, he was like, this is such a good role and so badass, I need to take it, which is a great sign.
Hey, it's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pant at work, and then the happy hour right after. The Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together. And of course, their denim. Because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
And last thing before, by the way, we're doing a sci-fi movie draft up next. Blood Meridian, which I know you, that's one of your favorite books, right?
Yep.
Blood Meridian is getting a movie. I have like a synopsis here, but I don't know if you have a better pitch.
Yeah, I mean, this is something, and if you're not familiar with it, it's written by Cormac McCarthy, who also did No Country for Old Men, which obviously, my number one. If you like movies, you know what that is. And The Road, smaller movie, not as successful, but still solid. A book I actually prefer over No Country. This is by far his least adaptable work. It is violence personified. It is about a kid. He's about 14, 15 years old, runs away from home, ends up with a group of scalpers in the 1850s down in Texas. And they just go around, they scalp Native Americans. The whole book's messaging is basically like, man will commit violence no matter what. There are no good guys, literally none. I really don't know how you put this on screen for an audience. Like, it is, it's gory and it's disgusting.
I don't know what sounds to me like it would be, Craigus F. Zeller movie, fucking Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah. I mean, it's worse. I mean, scalping is like, it's the grossest thing you can see on screen if you've seen it.
It's, like, I'm like very out on it.
We saw that in, what was it, Terrifier? They did that, no?
Yeah.
They did it in Westworld season one, too.
Terrifier is disgusting.
Yeah. What a nasty movie.
I fucking hate that movie. I hate that movie.
I think he like scalped or poured salt on it or something. It was really
bizarre. Yeah. Oh, man. What a stupid fucking gross movie.
Do you remember? I just remember 2 minutes in, that girl was like shitting her pants or something, like literally pooping on the floor. And I was like, this is
and then she lived. Me.
Yeah, that's right.
So stupid.
She lived the scalping. I forgot about that.
Fuck, man.
There is one really cool character that, like, if you like Anton Chigurh, like, this guy is that times two. Like, the judge, he's unreal. Like, he's like the 7-foot behemoth, and he's like the smartest man in the land. But he's got one quote that's insane. It's like, if there's anything on this earth that exists without my knowledge, it exists without my consent. Like. Ooh.
That's a cool line.
It's like, yeah, he's a absolute menace.
The Judge Holden and the Glanton gang.
Oh, it was a real gang. Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy.
This one's brought to you by TickPick. Ever actually read a ticket receipt? Service fee? Processing fee? Convenience fee? Convenient for who? That's an extra $30 a ticket. TickPick doesn't do that. Never has, never will. No fees means the exact same seat, same section, same row. Costs less on TickPick. Fans trust TickPick for all their live events. Check the reviews yourself. So why overpay for the exact same seat? Download the TickPick app and never pay another service fee again. And for new TickPick customers, take $20 off your first order with promo code PMT20 in the TickPick app. Terms apply. That's PMT20 at checkout for $20 off your first order.
Okay, we're going to do a sci-fi movie draft in honor of old Dune. Only ground rule ahead of time is that we decided no Star Wars. It is May the 4th today. We're doing a lot. We've been doing a lot of, sucking off of the old Star Wars today during the day. So we're going to let them take a break for this draft.
Sci-fi is so weird because, like, sci-fi is such a tough genre to define.
Yeah.
It's like, you talk about sci-fi so much. Like, are you talking about space movies? Like, I don't know. Like, so it is tough.
Yeah, there is like weird you can really make a definition for a lot of different things that you could really consider sci-fi. But then you could be like, oh, it's more action heavy than it is sci-fi. It's action with sci-fi elements, horror with sci-fi elements. Like, I don't know. I feel like we can have if there's anything questionable, we'll debate it. I made the order ahead of time. It's going to be Gooch, then Jeff, then me. I randomized it. I didn't just pick it. So Gooch, then Jeff, then me. You're up first. I was catching on a bad time.
Yeah, no, I'm looking. I have one that people will probably get mad about, but I'm going to take it because I want to get it. It's Blade Runner 2049.
That would have been Jeff's first, pick. I think. Yeah,
it's probably recency bias. But that movie is just something I flip it on all the time, and I'm just consistently shocked that it was even made. Like, it's so fucking beautiful. The movie itself, also just the messaging, like just questioning the essence of man. Like, I really love it. I'd love if we get another sequel to it because it clearly sets up more story. I mean, it's the performances, everything about it, like the opening, it's just so many great moments that I think of.
Mm-hmm. That's a great pick.
That'd have been my number one pick. It's probably the best looking movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, I really wish they would put it in theaters again for a little run. I think people would come in droves to see it.
If it ever goes back in IMAX, it's a movie that I think people need to go and see in IMAX. Like, it's that incredible to look at. But I will say, the new Dune may give it a run for its money.
I think something underrated about Blade Runner 2049 is that, like, the visuals are so crazy good that I think people forget how good the acting was in it. Like, Gossing, Jarmus, like, I forget the woman's name who played
Bautista.
Yeah, dude,
Dave Bautista. Like a 10-minute, like, almost like
theater performance. I mean, like, yes. Crazy good monologue.
Yeah.
Or dialogue scene. That and the woman who played like the hunter.
Yes.
Was really good too. I forget. She's Dutch, I think. I forget her name. But that, dude, they were all great.
That might be my favorite shot in the whole movie while she's sitting there getting her nails done and she's saying like fire, fire. And it's just like, in her eyes. Glasses. Oh my God.
That was crazy.
God. And it's a fucking a good Jared Leto role.
Very good Jared Leto.
It is a good Jared Leto role.
Perfectly used Jared Leto.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Ford solid too, for all things considered, for coming in late and just being like, oh, fuck it, I'll just do it. Jeff, you're up.
There's two to pick from. I'll go Alien. Alien is iconic. There's like three I could have picked from here. Alien is just unbelievable. And the Alien and Aliens together are fucking unbelievable. Like the fact that they made two movies that have kind of a different vibe, but different with the same vibe to it. And they fit seamlessly together, like in a franchise. Aliens is amazing. Like it hits all the sci-fi beats in terms of like the horrors of space, the horrors of aliens and creatures and monsters with all like the right tech and the things that you want to see in like a sci-fi movie. It's quintessential sci-fi. It's a 97 out of 100 for me. It's anything over 95 essentially perfect. It's number 36 all time for me. So Alien very high. So I'll pick Alien first. So there's a couple I could have taken there.
Yeah, that's like I feel like, at least in my head, that's like the dawn of more modern sci-fi movies. Like obviously there's like 2001, like all stuff like that. But like this to me, when I watch Alien, which is 78, I forget, 79. Like I watch that and I'm like, this is what that in Star Wars, the first New Hope, like those are like, that's modern sci-fi to my brain.
Right.
Or at least the start of the bones of it. I'll start out with Mad Max Fury Road, one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years. Just incredible sci-fi work. Another one where it's like the visuals and everything is so, and the action, all that stuff is so good that you forget how good the actors are performing in mid-movie. Obviously, Tom Hardy, not exactly like a fucking brain-twisting role for him, but like he did really well, which is good. Like they didn't make it overtax him with any of that, anything crazy. So at least they're on awesome.
He speaks in the movie, but if you told me he didn't speak, I'd be like, yeah, okay, maybe you're right.
Just grunts.
And I wouldn't be like, that's disappointing. I'd be like, cool. Like it didn't hurt the movie at all. But like obviously the car chase scenes in this incredible, better than the original Mad Max movies by like a decent margin, in my opinion. Just incredible action. Cool, really cool design of not only just like the cars, but just like you look at the dude in the guitar on the strings, like
that. Yeah.
Dude, like that stuff is just so cool, man. I really love it.
Flame coming out of his guitar.
Yeah.
It's
one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, and his red PJs. Yeah, those like the freaky suns, like all them, what do you call it? Like spraying themselves with
Nicholas
spray
Holt,
paint.
Yeah, Nicholas Holt spraying.
Yeah.
Off in paint.
Dude, I love that movie. Everything about it is just, it's perfect start to finish, in my opinion. So it was a must pick for me.
Yeah, that's 17 all time. That's a 99. That movie's fucking amazing.
I'm very excited for the sequel. Upcoming with Anya Taylor, or not the sequel, the prequel.
Furiosa?
Yeah, I think that's going to be awesome.
It's so funny how George Miller is like, March of the Penguins, then break Mad Max. So Mad Max first, and then I'll follow it up with, it's not a movie that I feel like jumps off the page as a sci-fi movie, but it most certainly is Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park.
It is sci-fi.
It's based on...
That's where sci-fi gets weird, is that it is science fiction. Like Jurassic Park is science fiction.
I think of it and I think like an adventure movie, you know what I mean? Which is part of what it is. But like you look it up on any definition, it's like Jurassic Park is a sci-fi movie from 1993.
No, like if you said like I'm taking Indiana Jones, I'd be like, all right, this might be a stretch. But like Jurassic Park is it's literally science.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think like using that science and being like, again, we talked about this before we realized 65 is going to be dog shit. Like, it became the dinosaur franchise. Like it or not, no one could come close to touching it because of how good Jurassic Park 1 was. Like the perfect adventure involvement, the perfect like science gone awry type of deal. you know, obviously Goldblum in his famous line, like they think if they should or all that stuff. Great cast, like even like the minor stuff, like that Australian guy, the clever girl guy. That's very, I love that line. It's a great, great line. And then obviously, fucking what's his name from Seinfeld? Knight?
Wayne Knight.
I almost said Phil Knight. That was very close. But yeah, no, he was awesome. I really liked everything in that and Jurassic Park. So Mad Max and Jurassic Park for me. Jeff, you're back up.
Imagine Michael Jordan running the triangle off into the Velociraptor.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go space. I'm leaving another one on the board that I don't know if Gooch will pick it, but I'm gonna go 2001.
Fuck. Yeah, that was my next
one. That would be mine.
2001 probably should have been my number one pick. I mean, it's kind of tough to say because Kubrick's done so many amazing things.
But it is the sci-fi movie too.
It's when I think of sci-fi, like I think of, like that is what I think of. I think of shots from 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Mm-hmm. And the music. Oh my god,
great music.
It's just unbelievable. It's one of the greatest.
Holds up so well. The special effects for that age, like you watch it now and it's like this could be anything in this.
There's a lot of times you see 2001 clips and you're like, what movie is it? You're like, and if you don't realize it right away, you might think it's like from now.
Yeah, exactly.
It holds up that well. Yeah, 2001 is like, I would say in terms of like space sci-fi, like that is the movie I think of. Mm-hmm. And it is Kubrick's best movie.
And it inspired so many different sci-fi movies too. It's like a baseline for so many of them.
The absolute balls to make a movie that big and not have any words until about 30 minutes in.
Yeah.
I don't think a word is said until about minute 30.
Yeah.
Like that is just insane.
Dude, insane. And it worked. That's the craziest part. To this day, I fear obelisks of any kind. Just scary. Gooch, you got back to back.
I'm going to go first one. I'm going to go Interstellar. And I think I probably could have waited on it.
You definitely could have waited on it.
I'm not a big Interstellar guy.
I love Interstellar. That movie makes me cry every fucking time.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous to look at. The Hans Zimmer score works perfectly. It might be my favorite Nolan movie, even over Dark Knight. I love Interstellar.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fucking good.
I've never been a big fan.
It's perfect for McConaughey, too. We used to build things.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff in that. I think the one scene that always stands out to me from it for being like, I think the best, in, at least to me, there's obviously like very subjective here, but like the scene where he has to dock into the spinning station and like the music they got playing, like adding into that anxiety into the actual dock and like them being out in space and like you can't hear any of the sound.
It's not impossible. It's necessary.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Shout out Tars too.
Yeah. All time.
Lydia Tar.
Yeah. Lydia Tars. that's actually good.
I've never been a big, like, I like Interstellar. Like, I think it's a really good movie. I've never been a big Interstellar guy.
I don't think it's Nolan's best by like any stretch, but it's,
I love
good
that movie.
Sci-fi movie.
Rudy keeps the Interstellar script on his coffee.
He does.
To look smart.
And Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah. He never read either of them. He said, he just keeps him there. So Interstellar, you got one more.
Be very funny if I just took Blade Runner again, but I'm not going to. I'm going to take Back to the Future. Mm. I'm going to take the first one. I mean, we've talked about Back to the Future at length here. It is
one that was one I didn't pick because I didn't know if we would count it, even though it's also science fiction. It's literally science.
Yeah, it's very clearly science fiction, but it kind of falls into what you were saying about Jurassic Park, where it's definitely more adventure
drama than it is like adventure drama comedy. Like I don't know what you even call it. Like,
it's just fun. It's one of the most rewatchable movies ever made. Michael J. Fox is just brilliant as a young man acting in that movie. I mean, it's the way everything looks, the design, like the way the costume design in the 80s flipping back to the 50s, it looks so perfect. I love it. The only thing I'd cut out is the weird mom
cest.
Yeah, the mom cest probably could have been reworked a little bit.
Mom cest adds to it.
It makes it better.
Calvin.
The mom cest adds like they never crossed the line too much there. Because that could have truly been like the worst. Like, though, if it would have been like – if they would have crossed the line on the mom and Marty storyline, would that have – it still wouldn't be the worst mom thing in any movie when you factor in mom singing. Mom singing in Willy Wonka.
Oh, I thought you were going full dad boat there.
No. What a swing. When the mom sings in Willy Wonka, it's one of the worst things in any movie ever.
I forgot about that.
It's a hundred people. Someone got mad at me. I'm like, it's 100 out of 100 movie. I pretend this scene doesn't happen. Well, that means it's not 100 of 100. I go, no, I'm excusing it. Like I'm giving it a pass.
I completely forgot about that.
She sings while washing her dirty, disgusting clothes. Yeah.
Who played the mom in the second? Sally Hawkins played the mom, I believe, in the Depp one, I think.
In the good one?
The Christopher Lee one.
Is so fucking bad.
That's one of those generational divides things where I'm right on the line of, but people younger than me, they love that fucking movie. They legit prefer it. They defend it.
Have you seen, speaking of behind the scenes music things, have you ever seen Danny Elfman talking about doing that movie score?
No.
He's like, who did it? What's his face? Tim Burton. He's like, Tim Burton was like, all right, I made the score. And then Tim Burton said, well, how about for this one scene? It's like 70s. And then it's like 80s rock. And Elfman's like, okay, I guess, dude. Like, you could tell he like really wasn't vibing with it. He's like, you hired me, so I'll do it. But okay, I guess.
That's hysterical. You know, and Elfman, I feel like, is a guy that lets a lot of shit go.
Yeah, when Elfman thinks it's weird, it's probably pretty fucking weird.
Yeah. Jeff, you're up.
How many are we doing?
Five each. So this will be your third pick.
I'm going to go E.T. next. That's a top, another top 35 movie for me. I think E.T. is, it's tough to, I think the E.T. song is John Williams. It's my favorite John Williams song.
Wow, that's high praise.
Yeah, I think it's like the most, like, if I think of a song that like, and this is a wholly unoriginal take. The Oscars literally uses it for all their montages. Mm-hmm. But the main theme of E.T. is like the most like wonderment, adventurous like song. I think of literally cinema when I think of it. But I fucking love E.T. I think E.T. is, again, a near perfect movie. It's a 98 of 100 for me. It is just, again, them flying on those bikes is as iconic movie making as it gets. And I think it's Spielberg's best work. Great story. Fucking got everything in there. Family, sad, happy, funny, some action stuff, got great sci-fi elements. I love E.T. I know it terrifies some people, but
yeah, he's a freak.
He is a freak. He's a freak. He's a good alien too. That's a great alien design.
Yeah. And very much imitated. Never was able to be replaced though by other people.
They tried to make
Mac and me.
Lil Wayne replaced.
Yeah.
Phone home. Wheezy. Phone home.
What was this whole bit? Rhymed Wisconsin with mansion?
Are not the same. I am a Martian.
that's my pick, though. There's still a few on the board. It's tough. But yeah, those are like the main three that I wanted. So
I'm like struggling with classics and ones that I think like I should pick because they are better movies.
Dude, I Googled best sci-fi movies.
I don't know.
Guess what the first two movies. You'll actually never be able to guess the first two movies that come up. First one's High Life.
I actually saw this earlier, but I'm not going to be able to guess it. There's one that made me chuckle. I should have, yeah.
Yeah, one is High Life, the movie with Robert Pattinson.
What?
The second one is fucking 65.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, 65, baby. No,
my first 65 is the first one for me.
Jesus. Just because you've been Googling it so much after you watched it, you're like, I need to figure out how they made this. It's so good.
And it's under popular sci-fi movies.
That's a stretch. That's a Google ad buy if I've ever seen one. A sponsored page buy.
The Adam Project? What?
It's crazy. All right, E.T. is off the board. I'm going to start with Arrival, another Denny movie.
Yeah.
Will we have three off the board? No, two, one off the board right now. Arrival, I think one of the coolest. If you're talking about like first contact alien stories, I think it's like the best one you'll ever see. Amazing, just like conceptually, like how they designed the alien, how they looked, how they communicated, all of that. And another movie where it's like, hey, this is crazy cool sci-fi lore and all of this shit, and that's cool, but also great again, like I think it's the third movie or second or third movie you're talking about with this. Great acting, very understated how great Amy Adams was in that, and even like Jeremy Renner and like the rest of the group, like Forrest or whatever, they're all great. Really, really love Arrival. And that's another one Denny says. Dude can't miss.
Dude, when he ties that thread through a fucking needle at the end, and it works so perfectly. When the music kicks in and she's know monologuing over top, it's just instant chills.
It's a movie that I admittedly didn't like as much as I wanted to. That I didn't like as much when I first saw it, and I've liked it more and more the further we've gone into it.
Mm-hmm.
Has Denny ever made not just an average movie, just a good movie. I feel like everything he puts out is pretty great high to like there. All yeah. time.
He's got a lot of, he's got big can't miss energy.
Yeah. I'll go from Arrival straight into Inception too. Well, not Inception too.
That would I would have taken Inception next. Yeah.
Yeah. Inception, one of the coolest. Another one just conceptually extremely cool. Dreams Within Dreams Within Dreams. You could joke around that it ripped off, Paprika, right? Or whatever.
Yeah. It's less the concept, more than just like exact shots.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, by the way. I always forget about that.
Yeah, I think Nolan always said, Nolan gave him credit like when asked, but then I think Aronofsky was like, "Nah, I thought of that."
Yeah,
and he did all the same thing.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, Inception, one of the coolest concepts, and one of the more interestingly stacked ensemble casts as well. Really cool shots, really cool action, really good use of like. I feel like we've talked a lot recently too about how animated is the only medium where you can like really fully express animation or imagination rather. Mm-hmm. Like this movie. I think as far as imagination goes, put into live action is about as insane as you can get within the bounds of like semi-reality and like sci-fi, I guess. Just incredibly, incredibly done. I could watch that movie a million times and still find something new. And just it's just fucking awesome. Great movie start to finish. So yeah.
The exposition works really. Sometimes Nolan movies, there's too much exposition mm-hmm. at points. Really works there.
Yeah.
Really works. It kind of holds your hands at points, but. And that's why I always get so confused when people are like, you don't understand it. I'm like,
crazy. That fucking makes me so mad. Tenet, I get.
Yes,
I
for
always
sure.
say I accidentally understood Tenet. Like, Tenet just kind of clicked for me, but I get it. Like, it's so fucking confusing. Inception is so straightforward. They mm-hmm. really do. They hold your hand through it almost, which is fine. It doesn't ruin the movie.
Yeah, no. When they're in, what is it? They're in France? When the
the mirrors?
No, the walls, like, the roads, like,
dude, that seems
up.
Crazy,
oh,
man.
Insane.
It's just, it has, also the music is the slowing down of the same song stretching across layer and layer is one of the most genius, it is probably the most genius musical thing ever done in a movie.
Yeah, Zimmer,
like, I don't think you can convince me otherwise.
Dude, he's a fucking genius. Those two combined, just like very, they never missed, not once. But yeah, I gotta go Inception. Jeff, you're back up.
I'll go Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which I do think is like, that is the quintessential like aliens movie. Like in terms of aliens and Earth, like Close Encounters is so perfect. There's so many things in Close Encounters, which I do think like this generation, it's not a movie they've really seen. It's such an old, I mean, it's from this 1977. Like, I think there'd be things that people be like, oh shit, that's from that movie. Like noises, sounds, shots, moments, Close Encounters. That movie freaked me out when I first saw it. When I was and it's not even like that freaky of a movie, like all things considered, like Aliens is significant, like that's a freaky fucking movie, but like this movie, like it's because it's like so much of the mystery of aliens and like UFOs, it really is like man, it's kind of, I didn't even realize I picked two Spielberg movies until just now, but that's another 96 of 100 top 100 movie of all time for me, so I'll take Close Encounters.
Yeah, do we have another I have a Spielberg movie, you have two, and you got Zemeckis, which I feel like is adjacent.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
Back
to
the
Future
is essentially.
Yes. That is a Spielberg product.
Yeah. Hard to explain, but it is. It just is. It has the same feel. All right. Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Gucci, you have back to round out.
All right. I'm going to throw one out there. You guys can shoot it down if you want. The Thing.
The what?
It's sci-fi horror for sure.
I mean, it's an alien.
Wait, what did you say?
The Thing.
The Thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's sci-fi horror for sure.
Yeah,
the whole thing, they're in a research base, right, the entire time. So.
Yeah, I mean, very much I feel sci-fi. And just the personification of, like, cabin fever. Another one where Kurt Russell is just fucking fantastic. Shot beautifully. The alien looks a little campy now, granted, but, like, when you first see it, it's horrifying. Like, something just...
I think it's scary as shit to this
crawling
day.
Around.
And the fact that it's, like, a real practical effect, too, makes it 20 times scarier.
Yeah, I mean... If you haven't seen The Thing, go watch it. It's a perfect wintertime watch, really. I watched it again in, I want to say, November, and it's like, once it gets cold out, it's amazing.
Yeah. The scene where he takes his hands, puts his hands in and get ripped off.
Oh.
To this day. That, when the dude's head comes off, oh, man, that freaks me out. All right. And your last pick?
Kind of between a few.
Speaking of John Carpenter, by the way, I just rewatched They Live for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
I fucking love that movie.
It's so good.
It's so, the acting is so fucking corny and campy, but like, man, the concept of They Live is just like, I do love it. And it's apparently picked up like very recent, honestly misappropriated, like political meaning. Like there's like a side of the aisle is like taking it like this, they live.
Anti-capitalism and all that.
Yeah, it's like, but like, it's like kind of, they're viewing it like the wrong way. It's like, I don't think that's what John Carpenter was saying.
They're thinking it pro-capitalist?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I don't even want to get into it, but I was like kind of looking up like They Live, like just like about production stuff. Cause I was like, I hadn't watched it in a while. And I was like, really? That's what people think about this fucking movie? But They Live is awesome. He first sees that they're like aliens, awesome fucking scene.
What does he say? You're fine. You're fucking ugly.
Yeah. Roddy Piper, baby.
That grocery scene is awesome. Man, I love that movie.
Yeah. The fuck? That's a good one. Sorry. So the thing, you're backing up the thing with.
And then last one, I'm going to go Ex Machina. Mm-hmm. Very recent draft for me. A little recency bias, but another movie I just love.
Dance scene, man.
It's so great. I mean, I really thought Garland was going to be the next big thing. Hasn't turned out that way.
I forget. Did you do Annihilation, right?
He did Annihilation,
which I like.
But was that before or after?
That was definitely after.
Okay, and then he did Men.
Oh, yeah.
Which...
Men could have been... That looked so good.
Yeah, it did look good. It was not. Yeah. But Ex Machina, fucking awesome. Another one where it's like almost a little bit of cabin fever.
Yeah.
Stuck in that. But they managed to create these different vibes and different settings through the lighting. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Oscar Isaac dancing. You can't ask for more. Alicia Vikander really broke on the scene there. Fantastic. Yeah, just a... fantastic movie.
Yeah, I really like that one. That's a good pick. That was on my list, but I was like, I don't think I can get to that before I get all the really good ones first.
I think it was the first movie where A24 really came onto my mind, like came into my where I knew it.
Jeff, your last pick.
Next movie is called Civil War. It's an epic action film from A24
about the Civil War.
No, it's set he described it as a companion piece to Men, set at an indeterminate point in the future, just far enough ahead for me to add a conceit. Sci-fi allegory for our currently polarized predicament.
Okay. I think maybe he could have stepped away from Men, but that's just me.
Mumbo jumbo starts Kirsten Dunst. I'll just take Dune. I think Dune is going to age incredibly well, especially after this next one comes out. I think it's an unbelievable movie that, I think it was the best movie of the year it came out. Incredibly acted. Score's unbelievable. Looks fucking amazing. It's a fucking incredible movie that I think maybe unfairly got just kind of like, oh, well, there's a part two. But I think as a part one, it wraps up great. Like I love the end of that movie. But I think part two is going to make part one even better for some people who maybe have reservations. I know, Kendrick, you're one of them. You've always said, like, I think part one I'll like more after I watch part two.
For sure.
Like, it's a complete story. But part one, for me, as is, I love part one. Denny is just unreal. He's just fucking amazing at what he does. And he's a guy who gets it. There's nothing like a product where you watch it and you're like, that guy gets it. Mm-hmm. You know, Lindelof was like that with Watchmen. I know some people don't like that Watchmen, but I know most people do. So I know it's a small minority, but people are like, oh, it's so different. But like that guy just fucking got it. Like he just got it. Dave Filoni gets Star Wars. Like I like when you watch something and you see that guy gets this shit. And that's how you feel when you watch Dune with Denny. And the same way with like Blade Runner as well, in terms of like continuing a project.
Yeah. No, that's a good pick, I think, to end out. And I'll make sure that you put the 70s Dune or the 80s Dune in there on the graphic.
Yeah, I should get David Lynch's Dune for free.
I'm gonna put the mini.
It's like an add-on. I still love the Lynch Dune. It's like for what this it is.
What I like too. Yeah.
Well, for what it is, David Lynch doesn't.
Yeah, David Lynch hates it. That's the funniest part.
Yeah, and the fact that they tried to cram in like it's not. I don't think it's good. Neither think it's good. But like it's still very entertaining and fun to watch. But it's insane they tried to make that thing work the way they did. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
That was that studio, right? It was like that Greek dude studio. Fuck, I forget his name.
It's like the Jodorowsky? Exact opposite of it's the literal polar opposite of the Hobbit movies. Like instead of saying, hey, let's stretch out this really tiny, easy to read children's book into three long movies. Mm-hmm. This one they were like, hey, let's take this unadaptable long adult book and cram it into two fucking hours.
Yeah. DeLaurinaitis is DeLaurinaitis is what I was thinking of.
That's still incredible. Like the sketches from Jodorowsky's, like if you ever want to dive into some film history, go look up Jodorowsky's Dune.
It's a documentary.
It's fascinating. Like basically George Lucas pulled a lot of designs from the original artwork for Jodorowsky's Dune, which is this high budget sci-fi movie that was going to be made and basically ran way too far over budget. It had to be scrapped. But just the sketches and the artwork alone have influenced sci-fi for just decades.
Yeah. There are people who don't believe him that he like that they think like he's there's been some liberties taken since then of like trying to hype it up more than it actually was. It's interesting. There is a documentary about it. There's a good documentary about it that I do think is worth watching.
All right. So for my last pick, I'm torn between two. There's one I want more, and that's District 9. District 9, I think, is one of the best sci-fi movies of the last 10 years. I think that Neil Blomkamp is a sci-fi visionary. You know what I mean? Like, if I was to pick anyone to be like the head of every sci-fi movie for the next 10 years, it would be him.
So you're pumped for Gran Turismo.
That bothers me more than anything else that he's wasting his talents on fucking Gran Turismo.
That was definitely a thing where he's like, I haven't directed anything in a while. I need some money.
Yeah. My 15th attempt at a Halo project fell through because Paramount Plus wanted to make a dumpy series. But like that's one I really do want to pick because I think it's like one of the best examples of modern sci-fi. And still, if you watch District 9 now, the effects in that are better than anything coming out today.
Yeah, it was made for nothing.
Yeah, made for no money in like 2009 in South Africa, and it still looks better than anything that came out here. But I want to pick that, but I can't leave one on the board that is quintessential sci-fi, and that's The Matrix.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Bandersnatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill, Bandersnatch, the scion of the future sci-fi, choose your own adventure.
I was between The Matrix and Ex Machina on my last pick.
Yeah. And The Matrix, obviously, so influential and so influenced by previous stuff, but like it was so revolutionary how it looked and how it presented everything in like a computerized sort of way, or everything just being like all digital and like the effects of it, all that shit. Like it was such a phenomenon in the sci-fi genre and so lasting, even though every sequel of it was pretty bad. It is still, it's that guy. Matrix was him of sci-fi for a very long time and is still so influential again. Perfectly acted all across the board in that first one. Great action, great music too. Effects still another one where effects hold up well to this day. And just cool as shit, man. It's just a movie. I could watch The Matrix like any day of the week, and like there'll be like the red pill, blue pill guys trying to go like super deep on it. I could watch Matrix at face value and be mega entertained and be fine with that. I don't need to go deep on the iceberg.
Just people running around in black leather jackets going in slow-mo.
That is very sci-fi. Like if you talk about like iconic sci-fi things, black leather jacket glasses wearers is like right up there.
Exactly. What's his name from Grandma's Boy?
Oh, fucking. Yeah. What was his name? Alex? No, that was the name of the main character.
Fuck. Kip?
No.
KP?
Yeah.
Is that it? KP? That sounds about right.
JP. JP.
JP. JP, that's right.
Yeah. See you later, douche nuggets, or what did he say? Something like that?
Yeah. Oh, he's such a...
but anyway, the honorable mentions on mine, besides District 9, Aliens, obviously action sci-fi, one of the best ever. Edge of Tomorrow, we talked about a lot. Starship Troopers, I think, is up there for me for sure, for multiple reasons besides, like, I feel like people take it as just an action movie when it's not what it is at all. Like, every Verhoeven thing, like RoboCop, all that shit has so much more to it. And then Dread, which we've talked about a ton. I fucking love Dread so much. That's one of my favorite sci-fi movies.
I swear to God, Dread gets better.
Like, every time, same.
It really is just an amazing, like, how did this not get more hype when it came out? Like, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, so fucking good. But those are my honorables. I don't know if you guys have any.
Yeah, I have a few. The last Star Trek, or not the last Star Trek, the first Star Trek from J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
Like the... Yeah. I really love
Star Trek
that
09.
Yeah. Dad Astra. I get the criticisms of Dad Astra, but I really love that movie.
I like Dad Astra quite a bit.
James Gray.
You want to talk about a movie that looks good. Jesus Christ.
That we saw in theaters in an IMAX, I think, at a screening. And it was
We saw an IMAX, yeah.
That's crazy.
Outside that, I don't have a ton to add.
Some old ones, Metropolis, yeah. Brazil. Mm-hmm. Metropolis is like OG sci-fi. Moon is another really good one.
Yes.
I will always fucking pull the sled for Moon. I love Moon. I mean, OG Blade Runner too, you can throw in there. Planet of the Apes is probably one that... actually the funny thing is I think the new Planet of the Apes movies are better, but the OG Planet of the Apes would have been my pick because that is sci-fi to a T.
Yeah, that's like benchmark sci-fi. Like, those are certain movies like that throughout where it's like, hey, I'm not going to go back and rewatch Planet of the Apes tonight, but like, it's a landmark. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that's our list. Gooch has Blade Runner 2049, Interstellar, Back to the Future, The Thing, and Ex Machina. Jeff has Alien, 2001, A Space Odyssey, E.T., Close Encounters, The Third Kind, and Dune. I have Mad Max, Fury Road, Jurassic Park, Arrival, Inception, and The Matrix. I think pretty good teams. This is going to be an interesting graphic.
I think people are going to be so fucking mad there's no Star Wars on it.
Well,
you got to put it on the graphic.
Put it on the graphic. No
Star Wars banned.
No.
Actually, you got to put not allowed to pick Star Wars.
No, I think it's going to be way funnier if we don't.
Yeah, probably better engagement.
Yeah, everybody calls this a Star Wars shill.
Well, that's true.
I wish I would have loved to have been in the theater when Frank Herbert first saw Star Wars.
Ooh.
It's like that Euphoria meme.
Like him just leaning over going, what the fuck?
He's the dude in fucking...
he's sitting there with Kurosawa like, dude, what the fuck? Sitting there they're just looking at each other.
With fedoras with the little cape on him. Like, I think you should leave.
That's probably a top three. I think you should leave.
Still wearing that stupid fucking hat.
Reading off the text. Yeah, and I swear to fucking God, he rolled his hat down. His stare.
He's got a pair of dice in his pocket. He keeps trying to show.
He's like trying to kick the dice over. He's like, "Quit you fucking with that."
That's I gotta rewatch that. That's coming out soon. That's end of this month. I think you should.
Yeah, I thought that was sooner. I was bummed. I did one of those checks where you're like, "Oh fuck, is that out?" By the way, I texted Gooch about this. I don't know if you've watched any of them yet this year, Kendra. The new season. I love the new season of Dave.
I haven't watched it yet. No, I want to.
It's very much just back to season one. Like
he did a very Peele-esque, like a Get Out type episode last week. The new episode's out. I'm literally about to watch it while I eat lunch right now. Mm-hmm. But the last week one was they're awesome. There is an episode of Dave which I actually think is legitimately the best episode of the franchise, maybe outside of like one of the finales. And it's just a day on the set of them making a music video, and it's so chaotic, and it's great. Yeah, so I've really liked Dave. It's been really good.
Oh, man, I was about to say, because we got our White Man Can't Jump screeners, and I watched it. I was about to say a quick thought on it, but I definitely can't. I just realized. I looked just in time. Oh, wow,
really? You're under that much embargo.
It's a May 11th embargo for social review on the 18th. Damn. I don't know what that means, because the movie comes out, the 3rd? Wait, that doesn't make sense. Oh, that's a window. Never mind. But yeah, so
it's like a bad movie when the embargo is 15 days after it comes out.
You can't talk about it, even though it's already on streaming. but yeah, that's the episode. We'll be back on Tuesday. Brand new. What movies are we doing on Tuesday?
Guardians and Will Poulter interview.
Guardians, Will Poulter interview. And I'm trying to think, do we have something else for that? I forget. We should do. there's some Apple TV Plus movies, anything coming out that we should watch?
No, I did like review. I love reviewing bad movies. Wait, hold on. So films 2023, always the Google search.
Worth a check.
So yeah, what's our lineup looking like?
Nothing releases against Marvel. That's the issue.
What did you say?
Nothing released. Like if a Marvel movie's dropping, nothing else will release.
So Guardians 3, the week after that, Book Club, The Next Chapter.
Oh, hell yeah.
That could be good.
Yeah, maybe we, that might be a funny one to review. That new Ben Affleck, Robert Rodriguez movie, Hypnotic.
We have to do that one. That one looks ridiculous.
Yeah, we probably should. The week after that is Fast X, White Men Can't Jump, and Gooch can review robots on his Instagram or something.
Mm-hmm.
The week after that's The Little Mermaid.
We should do Knights of the Zodiac. That looks awful.
After that is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
And the Rise Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman. I was thinking of the Highwayman with
Elemental and Asteroid City in June. Damn.
Oh, yeah. Who's in the Highwayman? Was that Woody Harrelson?
That was Woody Harrelson and Kevin Costner.
Transformers Rise of the Beasts after that. As well as Hulu's Flamin' Hot Cheetos movie.
They're making too many food movies. They got the Pop-Tart Jay Seinfeld one we were talking about, Maria Bakalova.
I told you guys. It's like they've pivoted away from doing like the true stories of like a person in biopics.
They've discovered food.
They discovered IP. No, they discovered brands.
Brands.
History of this brand.
Although, I mean, the Tetris one was awesome. That was really good.
That was good.
The same June 16th is bananas. You have The Flash, Elemental, the new Pixar, Asteroid City, the new Wes Anderson, and Extraction 2.
Dude, I'm going to Extraction 2 on Monday.
You think like it's Chris Hemsworth?
What's that? At the, I doubt it, but I got the email. I've never responded to an email so fast in my life. I got it. It's like, hey, we're cordially inviting you to an extraction. I already sent the email.
We'll have to split those movies up. We'll have to do two and two, because then the next week there's nothing, and then June ends with Indiana Jones.
Hey, dude, this doesn't come out until June. I'm watching it. That's really early, I feel like.
Yeah, it's honestly almost 2 months. It's the end of June.
It's a fucking test. Am I a test screener? Am I guinea pigging this?
Maybe. Yeah, you're going to see it, and none of the effects are going to be done.
Yeah. I'll be pre. Oh, shit. All right, but yeah, we'll be back on.
Impossible. Fucking hell.
I know. It's too long a wait. But we'll be back. Guardians, Will Poulter. We'll see you guys all on Tuesday.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.